How is everyone? Doing good. It's good to see this number this morning. It's good to be back. I told Brandy partway through, I enjoy going on vacation or what have you, although this was half of the time spent was being in conference. But I told Brandy, I said, I'm really looking forward to getting back to church and seeing everyone and getting that trip back home over with. It seems like the trip down is a lot easier. Talking in prayer room about that, it seems like everybody's excited and what have you, but sometimes on that trip back, you just want to get that ride back. You just get that over with and get back home and get everything started again. But I am thankful for a good week and a good conference, and I've been thinking along those lines, actually, for the message this morning, and I was so excited. I think every one of us, we're just so excited to get back in our own bed. I don't know if this is a new thing that they're trying now, but I think they've started making V-beds. Have you guys ever seen one of those? Have you ever slept in one of those? You get in it and everything just goes right to the middle. That's not good sleeping. I told Brandy, I said, if I ever had a rental property or anything like that, I would focus more on people being able to be comfortable. I think sometimes they think, well, they're not going to use this stuff anyway. They're going to be out on the beach. They're going to be out running around or doing whatever. But, to do all those things, it takes rest, especially if you get older. It takes more rest, so you can enjoy that time away there. So I was just thinking about that this morning, but it is good to be back home. So good to be back at church. And if you will, let's be turning to Psalms chapter number 1. Psalm chapter number 1. Appreciate Brother Jeff being here Sunday and filling in. Appreciate Brother Tim filling in Wednesday night. That's a blessing. I appreciate that. Wonderful lesson and message there. We appreciate that. And I'll go ahead and give the title this morning. I want to preach for a few minutes on the topic of godly leadership. Godly leadership. I think that is something that stays on our minds either at the local level or at the national level or community level, home level, pretty much all the time. People are looking for somebody to lead, somebody they can trust, somebody to follow. And these verses here, as I was contemplating this week and just thinking about what was on my heart, how the Lord was leading, and even the conference that we go to, it's called a leadership conference. And so in thinking about it along those lines, this is something that's kind of been on my mind and my heart, and I didn't want the fathers to feel left out from last Sunday. I've gone to these conferences now for several years, and it always falls in that same week. And as we have Mother's Day messages, it seems like I've missed out on Father's Day messages, so this kind of will align with that also. I'll tell you, if you really think about this and look at it this way, as far as leadership, it begins in the home. Would you agree? And who is supposed to be the spiritual leadership of the home? The father? Is that not what God would say? Is that not what the Bible says and how what God teaches us? And I believe we're going to see that in these verses here, thinking about how leadership should be. If there's a breakdown somewhere, you kind of got to go back and see where that breakdown is at. I think a lot of times, too, it's looked at that the person at the top just oversees everything and makes sure everybody else does what they're supposed to do. That's not what leadership is. Jesus never did that. You look at servant leadership and what he did. He first showed somebody what they were supposed to do and then expected them to do it. That's fair, isn't it? This is what I would like for you to do. This is how I want the home to be ran. This is how the church is to be ran. This is how government is to be ran. It sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? I mean, even going through with the wonderful Sunday school this morning really made me think about these things, just how everything is supposed to be set up and run, but we see it's not like that at all. What I see with leadership a lot of times is leadership is a person. This is just a loose definition as I think about it. A person that's in front of a group of people. And a lot of times there's probably more than just two, but you will say there's at least two sides. And what we're going to try to do as a leader is try to make sure this side is to some degree happy and this side is to some degree happy. That's not what leadership is at all. I don't see in God's word where it says leadership is to make anybody happy. What I mean by that is I think a lot of times we try to make out like, I want God on my side. God says, you need to be on my side. And to be on my side, he shows us how to do that, to be on his side. He has a standard. He has expectations that He wants from us. And I believe we can see that in these six verses here this morning. So you be in prayer. I pray that each one of us will have something that we can take home with us. Everyone here can be a leader. And everyone here should be willing to do that. And what I mean by that is, if you're not leading, then you're following. And this is the first verses, what it talks about here in these first verses about what happens to a person that is following. You'll see this here. We'll read the verses, we'll pray, and we'll get into the message this morning. Psalms 1, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That's a promise. That's a declaration from God's word. "The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for another opportunity to stand this morning, to be here with our church family, God. We appreciate each one and just so thankful. Lord, I praise you and thank you for a safe travel, safe trip, Lord. And God, I pray for those that are traveling this morning. God, we pray that you be with them and keep them safe in their travels also and help them to rest and recoup, God. I know times have been busy and just many things going on, and it takes so much from our mind, and just it's hard to rest a lot of times, God. But we thank you that we can rest in you, Lord. And God, I pray that you help us to take away this morning what you'd have for us to from this message, Lord, that we would be seeking you as far as leadership. God, we'd always turn to you and seek what your counsel is versus anything or anyone else, Lord. It's just so imperative in these last days that we follow you the way that we are supposed to. Lord, not that we would worry about all these other things, or worry about people, or worry about things negatively, or let things keep us from doing what you would have us to do, God, but we would seek after you first and foremost and let the results fall to you, God. We know you are the one who holds the results. God, I pray that you be with each one here this morning. Lord, that one that's lost, God, I pray that you touch their heart. Lord, help them to see their need of salvation, God. Convict them and help them to see that. Lord, I pray you keep a hedge around our church, keep us safe. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I like how this starts out here in verse number 1. He's talking about being happy. Who here does not want to be happy? Is that not the goal? I think that definition could be, or the definition of happy could be maybe different to different people or subjective. Maybe different things make people happy. But the Lord here in his word, he's telling us how that we are to be happy, how Christians are to be happy. You're going to see division here. The first three verses talks about the godly man, or the saved man, the regenerate man. And then you'll see in the last three, it talks about the ungodly. It's a compare and contrast so you can see a difference. It's pretty simple to pick it out and see it, but there's a lot of moving parts. And you can actually see in this first verse that there is a little bit of downgrading each time. And that's just the way of man. Man very seldom or ever really goes up the ladder in and of himself. Without seeking God, man will either, I wouldn't even say stay the same. It will always go down. You see here, the first thing it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh." And then it says, "Not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth." So he was walking. Now he's just standing. "In the way of sinners, nor sitteth." And now he's sitting down. "In the seat of the scorner." So you see, the scornful, you see how these steps are coming down. Man left to himself does that. He a lot of times he regresses. He doesn't progress. We call it progress. We call it progressivism when we're moving ahead and being progressive, but I don't see that at all. I see a lot of decline because we've turned away from God. We've turned away from his counsel. Again, we've kind of gone back to this, what does this side want and what does this side want? And we've got to kind of come to the middle. And that's not at all what God's word says. God says, this is my standard. This is what I expect from you. When Moses left to go on top of the mountain there, what did he do? He left Aaron in charge. What did Aaron do? He kind of talked amongst the people, and what would the people like to do, and how would you like to have it? Well, let's make us a golden calf that we can worship. Where did that come from? I mean, Moses goes on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and he turns his back for a few minutes, and now everybody's worshiping an idol. What did Aaron do? He talked to the people and said, "What do you want?" See, there's a turning away. Leadership is different. Leadership is a place of, "Lord, what do you want?" And being willing to stand and say, "You know, I know this isn't going to make so-and-so happy. I know a lot of people aren't going to like this." Tough. That's what God said he wanted. There will be a reward for that. His word, we'll see here in just a minute, it teaches that and shows that. When we see people in positions today, we need to encourage them and to help them. I'd say it's, you know, you don't want to be, I'm talking about myself. You don't want to come across Brother Nathan as hard-headed and not listening and stubborn and hateful or anything like that. You don't want to do that. It's an easy thing to try to be, "Well, you know, let's come to a compromise." Sounds like the easy thing to do, doesn't it? God doesn't want us to compromise. He wants us to stand. He wants us to stand in His ways and to stay in His ways. And so what we see here in verse number 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." How much sense does it make for a Christian to go to ungodly counsel? It doesn't make any sense at all, does it? Happens every day, though. How much confidence is that person showing in God if they're going to ungodly counsel and taking that advice? That's what counsel is. It's advice. It's an opinion. It's instruction, or the directing, the judgment, or conduct of another. Leading someone is what it's saying here, the counsel. That is being in fellowship with the ungodly. It's saying, "What would you have?" And say, "Okay, I'm going to let you have that," and go along with that. I think we see that a lot in this day and time, don't you? I think that's why we see the problems that we're having. We expect someone to hold a standard or have a standard, and you see the decline. Why? Because people are more interested in making other people happy than wanting God to be pleased with them. We look at the short term. We look what is right in front of us. And a lot of times we don't see past that to say, "Now what would God have? What does He want? Is He going to be happy with me? Is He happy with the advice or the leadership that I am providing?" And the only way that you can do that is to give it to Him and trust Him to give it the provision that we need. That's what He's saying here. Trust not, or walketh. Walketh, that means to be in fellowship with. Blessed is the man that walketh not, is not in fellowship in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I always thought that meant that a person, a saved person, was standing in the way, blocking a lost person from getting to God. Well, if you turn around and just start acting like the ungodly, that's exactly what you're doing. But that's what he's saying. A person that is standing in the way, acting the same way, following in their conduct. If you can't beat them, join them. I think this happens a lot of time, and I don't mean or believe that it's meant to be purposeful. But I think sometimes Christians don't want to be seen as stiff or rigid or uncool or anything like that. So they kind of start acting like the ungodly. And kind of go along with it that way. When a person does that, when a Christian does that, they are just tearing down their own testimony. And the ungodly looks at the righteous or the saved and said, "See, they're just like me. I don't need what they have because they don't have anything I don't have." I mean, there's a right way and a wrong way to go about it. I believe a lot of times it's not what we say, but how we say it. And the best way to say it is to show it. Let people see what you mean by your conduct. I tell you, something that burns me out faster than anything is to see somebody talk this grand scheme of how good things are and turn around and tear it down with their testimony. How we act, how we respond. Christians, it's all right to be angry, but the Bible says to sin not. I've talked to a lot of people in the school system, parents, around the school system, what have you, and what they are talking about the most is what we as adults, parents, leadership, is projecting onto our young people. If they see us running around the house all tore up mad, they're going to be tore up mad too. But they don't fully understand why. See, us being frustrated and fed up with things, when we project that onto our children, they look at that like, well, what hope do I have for the future? If my spiritual leadership is falling apart, how in the world am I going to do anything? What do I have to look forward to? How am I going to fix this? You see, where does our confidence lie? A lot of this comes back to just simply having confidence in God, not in self, but confidence in God that His way is the right way and just staying in it. We talk about details a lot. We mentioned this and talked about this in prayer room. We worry a lot about details, and there's a lot of details we can't fix, but God could if we would let Him. He'd take these messes and turn them into messages and make things come out to be all right if we would let Him do that. But standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That means to be acting in defiance or disregard. That means not taking account for what we're saying. Slowing down just a little bit in the heat of passion and just thinking, now how is my son going to perceive this? How is my daughter going to perceive this? If they see me fall apart, what will give them the chance to stand? If they don't see that confidence in me that I have in my God, where are they going to see it from? Where are they going to get that from? You see here, this is examples of following bad leadership. You see the decline here. Not supposed to stand in the way of sinners. Not act that way. Not supposed to sit in the seat of the scornful and just be so hateful and grumpy that nobody wants to listen to. You ever been around somebody like that? A pouter? Complainer? What a blessing that is, isn't it? Don't you love that? Boy, that's great, isn't it? So a lot of times that's where it falls into. You see that decrease. The more confidence we have in God, the happier we should be. Is that not right? So how much time do we spend praising versus complaining or pouting? How much time? You look at it both that way, it just seems like, oh, bless me, bless my heart, I've got it so bad. I mean, you look around, what has the Lord done anything for you to brag on Him about? See, that's where our time needs to be spent. That's what our young people need to see. There is still a God in heaven that's in control. And He's got this. We just got to stay following Him and not get tied up and trying to make people happy one way or the other. Seeking out what God wants. And how do we all know what God wants? We all can. We'll see that here also. It says here, but His delight is in the Lord, is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. Delight. That's a high degree of pleasure. Do you take a high degree of pleasure when you hold your word, God's word in your hands? There's sometimes I just like to sit and hold it, just knowing what it is. Knowing that God didn't just leave us down here to aimlessly wonder about things and try to figure things out. He said, here, I've got a plan for you. It's right here. A map doesn't do you any good if it stays folded up in the glove compartment, does it? You get some of these one-way streets and some of these towns you've never been in and you don't know where to go, I start looking real quick for some advice. I start looking real quick for, is this, how do I get out of this? But you know, if I'd had that map unfolded, it's GPS now, it's all electronic now, and following it first, you don't get lost. The plan's out in front of you. You already know the plan. You can already know God's plan. But a lot of times we just want to have our plan and we get in a bind. That's when we're going to start making some changes. Well, I'm in a bind now. I need to get through this rough patch and then I'm going to go back to doing what I want to do. You'll never have the peace that you should have in your life if that's the way you're living your life. Did you know in the midst of turmoil and bad things happening, you can look on Facebook, you can talk to people. Everybody is going through something. Everybody is. Very hard and difficult things. But you know how many people I've heard say that they have peace? It's because they have Jesus. It's because they have Him in their life, in their heart. If I didn't have that, I would have no peace at all, let alone in a situation like that. It's saying here, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. How many of you like to study? Now be honest. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's really hard for me. Sometimes I can't focus. I can't focus at all sometimes. I'll start reading, and then I'll look up a definition or something, and then the next thing I know, I see a red dot or something goes on the phone, and I'm like, now wait a minute, what was I looking at? See, there's a battle for your mind going on constantly. Constantly, constantly. And I know I preach and I teach on that a whole lot because it's so true. God does, or the devil does not want you having access to the thing that's going to help you. He wants to give you everything that would keep you from doing that. That's why we have so many screens. That's why we have so many screens facing us. They're called consumption devices. So you can consume all that media. You spend the time consuming that, you're not consuming God's Word. We're just not. As I've gotten older and as I've seen things, life be busy and things going in my life, there's one thing that I want more of and I feel like I have to fight the hardest for than anything else. That's time. I don't know how much time I've got. You don't know how much time you've got left. What we have in front of us, we better be spending it wisely. Because if you're not a leader, you are a follower. That's the only two options you have. You know, when I started out working full time when I was young. One of the first jobs I had, I guess it was through a review, an employee review or what have you. One thing that I had an employer tell me one time was, Jason, you're a follower. And you know, that made me so mad. And I fully didn't even understand why it made me so mad. But I think that's a problem that we have with a lot of people anymore. Well, let's get the group together and see what the group wants to do. Let's see what the group as a whole wants to do and we'll move forward with that. Well, the problem is if the group isn't following God, you're going down the wrong path. You see, this thing about being a leader is for everyone. How do you become a leader versus a follower? It says here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. If you are not studying God's word and meditating on it, you have no choice but to be a follower. How about, I'm sure you've heard somebody say this. I've heard it. It's not happened to me personally, but you've heard somebody say, preacher or teacher, I am losing my eyesight. I can no longer read. So I'm trusting you to tell me the truth. That person is becoming a follower. Is that not right? I mean, a person who can't see has to follow somebody. Is that not right? Well, if we voluntarily are not spending our time in God's Word, we're voluntarily becoming a follower. We have to trust somebody else because we don't know what it says. You have to take somebody else's word for it. How important is it that you take God's Word for it straight from Him yourself? Take the time to study and to know. A person who does not study is a follower. Have no choice but to be. You know, there's nothing wrong asking for godly advice, none whatsoever. None whatsoever. But how sweet it is to know that you can go straight to the source yourself and find out for yourself. I've heard a lot of things preached and taught that means so much to me. But you know, the little nuggets that mean the most to me are the ones that the Lord showed me one-on-one. When I spent time in His Word, He says, Jason, this is the way you need to go. I didn't have to ask the group. I knew that's what God wanted for me in my life because He told me. That's how He speaks to us in these last days, through His Word. That's how He shows us, and He's promising us here. So if we don't have it in our minds, if we don't have it in our hearts, we cannot meditate on it. Anybody know what the word meditate means? It's a bad word, very bad word. It means to dwell. I've asked people before, where's my dwellers at? Guess what? God knew that you were. God knows that most of us are. And He says, you know what? I'm going to give you something to dwell on. Don't dwell on what you're seeing in the headlines. Don't dwell on what you're seeing out here on the street. Don't dwell on these things that come through each month and that's celebrations of things that's sinful. Don't dwell on those things. Dwell on what I have for you right here. And even though that upsets you, and even though you know that it's wrong, I tell you what, you just stay right here in my word, I'll give you something to dwell on. And you can know that you're following the right path. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked in these things. We cannot meditate and dwell on anything if we don't have it in our minds first. How important it is that we take the time to go in and look for something, something that you're going through in your life. Pray, Lord, please show me. Show me the answer. Dad told me when I was young that the answer to everything, the answer to every question you have is in God's Word. Sometimes you can find it very quickly, and sometimes it might take a little while. But what I found, the joy of getting to the place of finding the answer, how many more answers were uncovered while doing that? I know sometimes it's hard to study. I know sometimes we get tired. The body, the flesh is, the mind is willing. I think it says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's very true. But how much do you want to know? How much do you want to follow God? I like what it says here in verse number 3. It's talking about this person who is doing these things, who are not listening to ungodly counsel, not following these things, these things that they shouldn't be. He and she staying in God's word the way that they're supposed to be. What does it say? What's the reward for this? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I like a guarantee like that. That's a good thing. If you're in business, if you have something that you're working on, do you not want it to prosper? What point is it? What good is it to put your hand to anything if you don't expect it to prosper? There's no point in it. Why would we start something that we don't want to see all the way through? And it says here, it doesn't say that this tree just by happenstance grew there. It was planted. Who planted it? Who planted it by the river? You know, when God reached down and saved you, he planted you into the family of God. That's a placement. That's a placement by God. Planted is what that is, saying here. And this is something that I really enjoyed when I looked at this. It said, by the rivers of water, not by the pond. You know, pond can get very stagnant. I don't know that I've ever heard somebody say, man, look at that pond. I bet that's some good drinking water. You know, a pond can go empty and dry out too. A lot of times you go by a pond, or you look in there, there's algae floating in it, and mess looking in it, and the frog will jump in it and say, I don't know if I'd have done that. Might have just been better to stay on the shore. But he's talking about being a river. By the rivers of water. I love seeing a powerful river go by. That's fresh. That's alive. That's moving. That's what God's Word is. It's not some stagnant book that you just keep on a shelf and every now and then knock the dust off and try to read a little something out of it. That is where our power comes from. That is where our leadership comes from. And I'll say this right here. Our power, our leadership, our strength comes from God's Word. And that's what's supposed to be proclaimed in the church, right? Boy, you'd be surprised at how many parents will come and run down the school board about the ungodly things that's going on and won't darken the steps of the church. Let's just be real. If parents, mom, dad, if you are the spiritual leader of your home, you need to have your kids in church. Would anybody argue with that? We need to go down that school board and straighten them out. Well, let's go to church first. Let's start at home first. Let's make sure the home is right first. Let's make sure everything is going the way it should be in our life. You know, what I have found in my home, if things are not running the way that I feel they should be, I would say 90 to 95% of the time it's because I'm not running like I should be. It's me. It's things that I need to be doing right. If you have strong leadership at the top, will that not deter a lot of issues on the way down? We would say that in government, would we not, Brother Nathan? Positions of leadership, we look up and we see what's at the top. Well, that's being done right there. Well, where's the breakup? Let's fix it at that level. That's what we would say. And I thought about this. Did you know that the devil knows that? Me and Brandy's talked about things a lot, and we see things and notice things, and you do too. Just things that you notice from time to time, and, And Brandy, she'd mentioned about different trials that preachers' wives go through and things like that. But if you go back and you look at the home throughout recent history, most often who is missing from the home? Dad. Either by choice or by circumstance, is it not a lot of times dad? You think that's just by circumstance? Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of moms and grandmas and grandpas trying to pick up pieces. Who is supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home? Dad. You take him out of the picture, what happens? Look at our nation. That's exactly what happens. You see that degradation all the way down. You see it coming all the way down. But if we hold true to what God's word says here again in verse number 3, it says, "And he shall be planted like a tree, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not also wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." I'll say this here about that little piece of that verse. Like I was saying just a minute ago, his leaf shall not wither. Yeah, that tree's been standing out there. That tree's been in the storm, and there might be a few leaves missing. But the leaves that he or she has is not withering. That's because they have the power of God in their life. You can see that on a battle Christian. I'll say it that way. On a Christian that's in a battle, you can see it. They're going through things, and there might be some bumps and bruises, but they don't look withered because they know where their power's coming from. They're planted by the rivers of water. "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That's a promise from God. I can't take that away. Does that mean that things aren't going to are always going to be right and always going to be easy? No. I'm going to let you in on a secret. There are times that men and women choose to do the wrong thing. And when they do that, they take upon themselves the recompense of what that decision brings. That doesn't change God's promise. God's promise still stands. There's never any shortcoming from his hand. His hand is not shortened. But when men and women, when people make wrong decisions, they will have to answer for that. It's important that we see that and understand that we see these things, these promises. Well, what about this? Yeah, what about this? This person didn't stay within that. And that's why that changed. That's why that happened. We see this in these last three verses here, and I'll be closing. It says, "But the ungodly are not so." You see a difference. Well, that's very straightforward, isn't it? I thought we were trying to keep both sides happy, the godly and the ungodly. I thought we were trying to come to a compromise. There is no compromise. Jesus, just like we understood and saw in the lesson this morning, Jesus is the only answer. If we're not going to him to get through him to God, there is no other entrance. This isn't a majority rules vote. It is either yes for Jesus or no. That's it. That's the only choices you have. There's no trying to make people happy. This is the reality of it all. It says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." It's been some time, but studied before about the threshing floor, about what that looks like. You see the grain and you see the chaff. And so the grain is the seed inside the plant. And the chaff is like the husk or the hull that goes over it. There's no value to it. I guess maybe it provides protection but until harvest time for that seed. But you don't eat that. It's not tasty. Matter of fact, if you get one stuck in your throat or your tooth, you know it pretty quick. It's not a good thing. So what they would do is they would have sheets. My understanding, maybe there's different ways, but in my studies, they would have sheets on the threshing floor with this wheat. And what they'd do is the wind would blow through the barn or whatever area that they were working. They'd get together with the blanket and people would move it up and down. And what would happen, the heavy part would fall and stay on the blanket and the chaff would just blow away. And that's what the Lord is saying here in his word, is that the ungodly is like. We see a lot now. It's like, man, they're getting the upper hand. The ungodly is winning or getting the upper hand. They're not. If we can't see how merciful God is, turn on the news and see how merciful he is. That's what I get from it. God is still giving people chances. It's not a forced thing. Again, like Sunday school, it's not a forced thing. It's a by choice thing. You have a choice to make. The choice is up to you, but just know every choice has a consequence. A good consequence or a bad. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away, that's taken away. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. I thought a lot about that. You think about the mercy seat of Christ, and you think about the white throne judgment. That should wake every single one of us up for somebody we know, as Christians, for somebody we know that's not saved. You know how hard it's going to be to stand before God at the mercy seat and answer for things? I mean, if you've been saved, you're under the blood. He's forgiven you. But I think about things I'm ashamed of and embarrassed of that I wish I hadn't have done. But I still know I'm His. Now you look at the ungodly. They have absolutely nothing to look forward to. Nothing. In this life, a lot of times we see what's going on in the mainstream. You see what's being pushed. And they don't look happy. They don't look happy. Look depressed. Highest rates of suicides and things that's going on. They do not look happy. They have nothing to look forward to. If that should not wake us up as Christians, moving about with compassion to try to make a difference in their lives. But now you imagine standing before God knowing you have nothing to answer for. You don't have Jesus' blood on you. You will not stand. That's what the Bible is saying here. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You've seen the division there. That's how God makes the division. That's God's word. That's not somebody being hateful. That's not somebody being self-righteous or judgmental. That's telling the truth. It's either or. That's the way it is. Verse number 6, we'll close with this morning. It says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want to say something on verse 5 real quick. Hebrews 9:27, it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There's nothing to look forward to. And then Psalm 37:23. Psalm 37, read that when you get home. There's a lot in Psalm 37. But Psalm 37:23, it says, The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That's what I see here in verse number 6. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows how you're living your life. It's not a secret to Him. I think sometimes we are good at perception. We're good at pushing out a perception about our lives. You could push it out and say, I want people to know that I'm interested in this thing, or this is my hobby, this is what I like doing, or I don't want people to think that I have troubles at home, or I don't want people to think I have financial troubles, or all these kind of different things. So there's this projection that people try to project out. And you might confuse somebody else, or you might have somebody else fooled, but you're not fooling God. None of us can fool God. He knows what's going on right here. And that's what He's interested in. No matter what our minds try to project out, He knows exactly what is in our heart. He's saying here, therefore, verse 6 again, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows what is in your heart. He knows what's in the heart of the righteous and the ungodly. And He's saying here that the ungodly shall perish. I want to challenge us this morning to take this to heart. I know I talk about studying a lot and spending time in meditation or our minds. I talk a lot about the mind. I think that's because that's what I deal with a lot. I think that's what I think about a lot, is people's mental health. Why are we hearing so much about mental health in these days and times, more so than what we did 20 years ago? I'm not saying it wasn't always here, but why do we hear about it all the time now? Anytime there's a mass shooting or anything that runs across the news headline, almost 100% of it is linked to mental health. What's happening to America, the country's mental health? What's happening? And I think our minds are never resting. Talked to Brother Gary not long ago. We were just talking, about people. Sometimes it seems like people just can't sleep anymore. You know, if you don't get good sleep at night and this mind don't turn off and it keeps running, that leads to dementia. That leads to other things. That's why the mind is so important. You know, I know the preacher's supposed to aim for the heart, and I do. But the mind is a valuable part too. If you don't have this, it's hard to really reason with this right here if this ain't right. And most of the time, this is on something else because I didn't sleep good at night. I tell you, I'm a different person. I was talking to Brandon this morning. This would not have been easy this morning or one of the days last week because I was good to get to the couch to get coffee. And that shows me how important this mind is. Why do you think the devil wants to go after it so hard? Go after that mind. Take the mind out of it. Take the dad out of it. Take these things out of it. Then you're left vulnerable. That's why the Bible talks so much about these things. That's what he's saying here. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask the ladies if they will to come.